So I now want to welcome a friend of ours, a friend of a New Republic of the Heart, and a friend of Terry's. I want to welcome Indra Adnan. And we are delighted this was a very last minute happening where she was able to join us very spontaneously, even though she's actually hosting guests at home. And so I'm really appreciative of that, Indra. And for those who do not know Indra, she is the founder and co-initiator of the Alternative UK Political Platform and a global consultant on soft power. She is also a psychosocial therapist, journalist, and author. She has consulted to the World Economic Forum, Indian, Finnish, and Danish governments, NATO, the Scottish Executive, and the Institute of Contemporary Arts, amongst others. She writes for The Guardian, The Huffington Post, and her publication Soft Power Agenda, New Times, and Is the Party Over? She also appeared on our podcast with Terry, having a number of conversations, and also in his last course, Brightening Every Darkness. So I just want to welcome you, Indra, and thank you. It was so sweet, and we really connected in the last couple of hours, and Indra said yes, she'd be willing to do this. So we would love, Indra is over in the UK, and we would really love to hear from you, what you're feeling and sensing as you look from that perspective and being engaged in what you have been engaged with, what feels really, really important at this time.
So thank you very much, Siobhan, for inviting me on. And hello, good evening or good afternoon, everyone here. I actually signed up to listen because when I saw that this event was happening, I thought I really want to tune in and hear from my family, my American family, how this global event is being experienced by those people who are going to be most affected by it. So I should say as a caveat before I speak that, obviously I'm not in America. I've been involved, I suppose, in global politics most of my adult life. So I'm an observer for sure of America and the American dream and what's happened to the American dream over the last 30, 40 years. And it was always going to be very important. The political platform that I run, and which Terry was somewhat instrumental in, helping me to co-create, because the Integral community was very formative in my thinking about why is politics broken. We started with the question, politics is broken, what's the alternative? And for 7 years now, we've been developing the alternative, which means that this current system that we have, the one that we're all experiencing really strongly today, has been unfit for purpose for decades. And the result of that, or the evidence of that, is really what we would call the polycrisis that we are now in. So it isn't a single crisis of the environment, or of social justice, or of potential nuclear war. It's all of the interlocking crises that we are experiencing, which have at the heart of them a socio-economic political system that has been failing us for decades. So that's the backdrop, really, of where I'm coming from. I'm always looking from the point of view of what stage are we at as a global community of human beings who are interconnected via the internet and who can be deeply involved in each other's practices and stories and media. But what stage are we at? What is this moment and what has this election revealed to us? So, and please forgive me, that I'll always be speaking from a UK standpoint and then from a personal standpoint. And you may feel that some of the things I say are just wrong. Maybe I'm just plain wrong about some things. And please forgive me for that because I'm not an American myself. But this is the way that we went into the election from here, is that, you know, just like the UK election that happened very shortly before the American election, you all know this is a season of elections that's been going on across the world, all of which have been important, the American one being the most important. We always knew that it was an election within a system that was already broken. So the Republicans versus the Democrats, this binary system, you know, where everybody has to choose between one or the other, within what you would call the electoral college system, which means that there's no possibility of any nuance or there's no proportionality about the way that a winner is chosen, that each of us only have a vote once every 4, or in our case, 5 years. You know, the citizen, the human being, has very, very little agency in the major power structure that decides and defines our future. So remembering all of that when you go into an election, still you're still called upon to make a decision to go this way or that way. And the way that we felt it ourselves was that the decision was pretty stark and not very difficult for progressives. You know, in a sense, you had somebody, you know, wanting to be the first woman president and woman of color, versus a president who had already shown us, you know, what kind of actions he would take, what kind of a person he was, that was already a committed felon, that had already shown a very poor attitude towards women. It didn't seem to us to be that much or that difficult a decision for progressives. So we had this kind of false security of, you know, it was likely to be a narrow win for Kamala Harris. So, however, the very first time that Kamala spoke, when she did her acceptance speech as the new nominee after Joe Biden stepped down, it was already quite a warning sign for us watching, which is that she really emphasized, and I don't know how many of you would share this observation, but she really emphasized her hawkish nature or her willingness to be and her intention for being the most lethal army, the most lethal military force on the planet. This was already a shock to the system to hear that, especially since we are yearning for the first woman president, which one might imagine in one's deepest dreams would be softer, kinder, more willing to imagine a world in which we could see the end of war and see the end of violence. However, that was very quickly, was put to the test in the very first speech that she gave as the nominee. So we went into the election, with some sort of already having limited expectations of what this would do for the future of our planet. However, you know, during the election period, the few months that she had, you know, the binary became more and more clear. And I have to confess that I sort of fell in love a little bit with Kamala Harris. You know, I found that her joyfulness, you know, her elegance, her warmth, her commitment to the, you know, to bringing the country together, her language around wanting to raise everyone up was very appealing and very, you know, it gave hope. You know, the politics of joy was something that I think we were all waiting for and have been waiting for. So there was certainly a moment, and I hope maybe for the same for all of you too, if you're here in this meeting, that we thought maybe this was pointing in a new direction, and maybe we were going to go towards a more developed, a more kinder, wider, more willing to embrace difference kind of politics. And so, you know, I confess that we fell in with that real strong desire. So to hear the results on that morning, after the election and after the voting took place was a shock. And I think that, I hope I'm not taking any, I'm not making any assumptions, wrong assumptions here, that when people say that they're upset, I'm assuming that people are upset with the result, and that therefore there's a great disappointment, you know, with something that for a moment we could believe in was at least heading in a good direction. But I think that we ourselves at The Alternative, we had to recover very quickly, because what happens straight away after an election is that people go into recrimination and they go into analysis. And we find that people are very willing to nominate either people or policies or strategies as being the cause of the failure to win this election. And that's very much not our perception, that it isn't to do with any one of those things, but simply that we are still, from an evolutionary point of view, we're still in a long process of waking up to the reality of not only the plight of our world, the polycrisis that I described before, but perhaps much more important, we're waking up very slowly to the possibility of our own agency. This is something that we describe as a 30-year revolution, that really since the birth of the internet, we've been in a revolution of every individual who has access to the connectivity and to the knowledge and to the participation that the internet began to give 30 years ago, is in some form of rapid waking up to the reality of the world that they really live in. And there's different stages, if you like, or there's different speeds at which people are waking up. And what we've woken up to in America today is that the speed at which America is waking up is still more in the camp of early days waking up, early days of being disillusioned with power, early days of choosing people who can lead us out of this mess, in a way still reacting to the discovery that the American dream wasn't all that it stood up to be, that the promise of the declaration of the early declaration of the founding fathers could not be easily delivered. We're still actually in a long process and in the early days of waking up to what it really means to have an America that is fully plural, capable of interacting with each other and capable of delivering a really diverse and flourishing and complex eco-civilization. So if we are only in these early days and that the majority of people are still to some extent being grossly manipulated by the media system, by the moguls, by the oligarchs, by the most powerful people in the system, then my own feeling and our experience and our commitment at the Alternative is to be patient, and is to continue, and is to listen deeply and hard to the people around us, and just continue with the journey that we set ourselves on. And maybe most of us, I would say, have been on this journey all our lives. It's not new to us that that we have been living in a broken system. And that broken system, as I said earlier, has led to this polycrisis that we're experiencing. The question is, how can we really stay with it? How can we invest in the future when it appears that we're going to be really dragged as a nation, or as even possibly as a globe for some time now, off in a poor direction, in a backwards direction, towards back towards something that people used to feel safe with, you know, a hierarchy, a set of leaders, a certain kind of order in the system that keep people in their place. But I would say that any one of us who've had families, see their families grow up, have seen their communities change, will know that there's a cyclical aspect to this, and that there's always forward and then backwards, forwards and then backwards. As long as the forwards motion that we hold in ourselves is the one that we're really investing in, then the drag backwards is something that we are still always capable of. So I don't know if that gives you a sort of an overview of how it looks to us. Our practical activity, just to give you a sense of what we're doing at The Alternative, is we're invested in what we call community agency networks. And that means to be invested in the community that you live in, to be with the people that are that you're surrounded by, and to be in conversation with them is like the micro level of the macro that we're trying to achieve. If we close ourselves off to the people around us in any way, then we are really giving energy to the part of the community, the part of the system that wants to go backwards. Now more than ever, the way that we are being with others, the way that we ourselves hold the future possibility in our hearts, the way that we exchange with others is the fractal energy, is the microcosm of the future that is trying to emerge. So for us to hold that, we call it cosmo-localism. So with your feet on the ground, but with yourselves fully engaged in any of the social media or any of the internet work that you do, we're all of us, all interconnected globally, but we're working on the ground where we live. And our most important relationships are with the people around us. And as we are generating those and building the tissue that doesn't really exist yet of people being able to be plural, being able to be diverse together, will be the one that you're building. And your agency will become the hallmark of the future that we're trying to slowly unfold. It may surprise you to know that we are working with community agency networks all over the world, and that we're using technology to connect all of those community agency networks. But we're also working with artificial intelligence to be able to offer people the wisdom of this, what we call this coming eco-civilization. So there is much in train. There is much more than you are reading about in your mainstream newspapers. The drama that is going on your television and on the front pages of the newspapers is not the only reality. Try to remember the slowly evolving eco-civilizational emergence that has been growing for decades, and invest in it in the same way that you would invest in your own health and your own strength and your own possibilities for the future and for your children.
Thank you, Indra. Really enjoyed that. And I think to the presencing of patience, I'm also reminded that something of this happened after 2016, where we were able to create the communities really that have pretty much established themselves all over the world now during that time. And also I was lucky enough to participate in some of Jonathan Rawson's anti-debate, which you helped him develop, which is a beautiful process for being in the room with people to see and engage in the rainbow of views that's there, and changeable and movable, and the kind of flow process that is there. And that was all developed at that time too. So it feels like that's some of the opportunity that we get to to just engage with each other and be patient. Thank you very much for all of that.